right, welcome to Highly Questionable. I got Katie Nolan on one side. I'll be Mike Golic Jr. on the other side. Shout out to the Water Boys. They do good work. Let's roll.
What did you take away from the Raiders' statement about Derek Chauvin's conviction?
All right, Derek Chauvin was a police officer who leaned on George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes and was convicted on all counts by a Minnesota jury on Tuesday. Now, corporations, this one hit them a little bit differently. There's something about seeing somebody's neck get leaned on for 9 minutes that takes away the whole both sides element. So what we've seen for about the last year since this happened is corporations taking the side of people who feel at fear in these moments of the idea that the police might lean on them for 9 minutes, right? I think it's in large part because they wanted to speak to the employees they have who feel a certain way when they see these things and show a measure of solidarity with them. So what happens when corporations do that? Well, they're in a new territory that they don't really know that much about. And so they wind up putting out stuff like this on social media that says, I can breathe, which may be the worst thing you could have said in that moment if you are the Raiders. Now, team owner Mark Davis gave an explanation. He said he heard a member of George Floyd's family say that after the verdict had come down, that they could finally breathe again. And so he was trying to operate off of that one. Yeah, didn't work. He says he's deeply disappointed if he has hurt the family, but he says he's going to leave the tweet up. I don't even mind him leaving the tweet up. Hey, you made the mistake. I understand maybe the argument that you're not going to run away from it. But the reason I'm not going to really condemn the guy, keeping in mind he's a dude that once had John Carlos like the Al Davis torch at the stadium. He tried. He got it wrong, but he did try. And I do believe that in these moments, when people honestly do, in fact, mean well, we have to remember the part that they do mean well. Say you got it wrong. Be loud about the fact that he got it wrong. But it's too easy to turn him into the punching bag for everybody else when this is a whole new world for a whole lot of these guys. And goodness knows, they don't actually have any idea what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree. We do. You make a great point. Take into account that somebody means well and don't attack them. I do want to say there is a difference between engaging with a tweet or discussing a tweet on Twitter and then putting it A1 in a television show. And the problem where things get blurred here is that anybody who reacts or criticizes that, I want to say objectively bad tweet, but I guess to be fair, that bad tweet, anybody who criticizes that tweet is being told that they're overreacting, they're offended, like he didn't do anything that bad, why are you attacking him? And we're missing on the spectrum of like attack and accept that there is stuff in the middle that's just like disagree with, not support, think it was a bad idea. And I think that we've reached a point where if you voice any sort of opposition to someone doing something, it's like, why are you trying to cancel them? I don't think that this is like a, we need to discuss what we're going to do about the Raiders after that tweet. But I do think it's an interesting discussion and it's one worth having and for people to pay attention to because a very public mistake was made by a well-meaning person. Questions were asked, jokes were made, and then that person took a little bit of accountability, which is supposed to be the goal of calling people out on things. You want to see them be introspective and go, hey, I messed up. But if you're a rich owner of a sports franchise, you've got disposable income and disposable time. And so I'm a little bit less likely to give you the benefit of the doubt when you're like, wow, I didn't know any of that. It's like, you could have. And if you mean well, what that means is you have to start educating yourself so that you can use this gigantic platform that you have to actually steer the conversation in a direction that is helpful instead of disrupting it in a way that then leads people to make fun of your Hall of Fame bad tweet that you sent out in a very sensitive moment for a lot of people. So I'm not saying cancel Mark Davis. I'm not saying let's nobody support the Raiders. But if he's going to leave the tweet up, then I think the important thing to do is for people to learn from the mistake that he made and he admits that he made. That, I think, is the takeaway from something like this.
Yeah, Katie, you mentioned that he's got the time and space to learn about and know these things. I would also argue that he's got the people around him, or should in that. I can't speak to the Raiders' internal hiring practices here, but I can say, as someone who, like you, tries to understand what I don't know, I'm fortunate to every day on a radio show work with a black woman, work with two black men who, if I have questions, especially as it pertains to these issues that we've been diving into more and more in the last year, I get to ask questions and then follow the lead of people who have lived this a little bit more intimately than I have. And I usually take my cues from them. Mark Davis has people in here. If you are an organization that is empowering your PR department, that's empowering your social media department. Because make no mistake, I'm glad he took accountability for it. As someone whose younger sister once worked in the social media department for a couple of NFL teams, these tweets are often things that have to get signed off on levels nearing or at ownership in a lot of instances that people don't know and just start taking them to task for instead. So the fact that he came out and said that is a good thing. So I'm not going to rake him over the coals here, but I'm going to say this speaks to the larger thing that we always talk about. You have to hire and empower people that do know better if you don't.
Or just don't try to be clever, because that's what did them in. They were trying to be clever. The NHL put out a statement that I believe was two sentences. And you know what? Good enough for me, because I don't expect nothing from y'all. I personally do not need to hear from my favorite company about this moment. That is just me, right? But what the Raiders did, they could have just said, yeah, that verdict is what we thought should have happened. And that would have been cool. But they were like, nah, picture it, man. Think about what we can do. It'll be black and then in silver. And it's going to be striking and it's going to be poignant. Oof. Use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid.
Are you starting to feel like the Nets are never going to get healthy this year?
All right, so James Harden experienced a setback with his hamstring. That's what the team is describing it as. And Steve Nash, he doesn't sound too optimistic about this. Like, the way he's talking about it, like, we'll get him back when we can. We're going to try to rehab him. They got something like 15 games left in the regular season. Like, this is a thing. I don't know when they're going to get healthy, because Kevin Durant, who it does look like will be coming back soon, I don't have any reason to have faith in his ability to stay healthy. Again, that's a 33-year-old man coming off of an Achilles tear. You can't just expect that everything's going to be okay with him. The thing is, with one of those guys, with two of those guys, with three of those guys, they just seem to keep on winning. Like, I don't know how far this thing can go in the postseason necessarily, but is two out of three of them going to be enough to win the East? I don't think that it will be, but I could understand how somebody could talk themselves into it.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thought experiment to go back to. All right, could this team as originally formed when Kyrie and KD were the ones that just decided to come over accomplish the things we expected for them then before James Harden came and messed up the math? Yeah, I'm worried a lot about this. I mean, the biggest predictor of future injury is past injury. James Harden, especially with the soft tissue injury, which is the thing we were worried about with this short turnaround of a season, with what we were asking of a lot of these NBA players. That's the number one spot this is going to happen. And reading up on this, when we hear it wasn't because James Harden fell, it wasn't because he stumbled or anything. This was in the course of normal activity, which means you've got now a physical hurdle that's going to be ready to come undone and the mental hurdle to get over of, all right, could any normal movement coming up for a guy whose sudden agility is the hallmark of his game, especially at the top of the key? Yeah, there's a lot of concern there, but I think looking at it still, knowing Kyrie Irving on his own hasn't looked like enough, Kevin Durant's ultimate health seems like the end game here that could still give Brooklyn some hope in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I do, you know, when I hear he suffered a setback, I'm like, I don't know if everybody else just knows exactly what that means. I feel like it's not enough information to me to make any kind of reasonable assessment of how much longer this is going to go on for. But I will say, I know what it sounds like to not have a lot of hope. And when Steve Nash talks, it doesn't sound like he's got a ton of hope that this is going to be coming back and being fixed anytime soon. There is a statistical argument to make that I think, Golic, you were just alluding to, that KD is actually the one they need to get back. It's less about Harden. And I know KD is probably going to play sooner than Harden, maybe as soon as Thursday. So, like, they could still pull this off and make this happen, which is kind of the thing about when you amass this many stars, if one of them goes down, you're like, we do have a whole bunch of others. So, yes, I think injuries are going to continue to be a problem. But I do think if they time it in a way where these guys were recovering and are ready in time for the playoffs, it feels like that's probably their best bet. I don't know. I just hope Mean is doing okay.
Up next on HQ.
If you boil this down, this is Americans trying to get rid of a meritocracy.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. What is your takeaway from the Super League failure?
All right, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't really care nothing about this European soccer Super League because I don't really care about European soccer. But then somebody explained to me it was the Americans who were messing up the party. And I was like, oh, tell us how we're destroying people in another part of the world. So what it is, you know, they talk about that stuff over there in soccer where they got like relegation. Like if you don't do well enough in your league, you got to move down to another league and people move up and down. It's a great way to make sure the teams actually are good. Well, the rich teams looked around and were like, why should we ever run the risk of relegation when we're the ones that make all the money? Let's get our own league where we could never be relegated. And that's where the rich Americans come in. Because it's like rich Americans, some guys from the UAE, right? Dubai, that kind of money. And they want to set it up so they could have their teams that make all the money in their own league. And what I don't think the Americans understood is in the United States, we some punks about this kind of stuff. And they do stuff to us and we just kind of take it. In Europe, they take it to the streets over there in France. It takes nothing for the people to hit the streets. And you out here messing with the soccer, the people on the ground said, no, we're not here for this. We think this is ridiculous. We don't dig it. Other teams then turned against them. And the moral of the story is we do a good enough job messing up stuff here in the United States in the name of naked capitalism. We don't have to go do it to other people. We've done it on many continents before. They learn. You might be able to destroy some of them, but when you try to destroy Europe, that's when people put their feet down.
And what's interesting is that these American owners, I know John Henry specifically, had to learn a lesson that you couldn't play the American sports game over across the pond, right? When he got Liverpool, he went over there and wanted to apply this money ball approach of like, keep it, you know, focus on the wallet, turn a profit, don't spend too much. And basically was like, oh, this is absolutely not going to work here. Changed it, got Mo Salah, changed the team, spent money. So it's like a lesson was learned, but it also just feels like these American owners were like, all right, I'll play it your way for a little bit. But as soon as I can, I'm going to show you guys how cool it is to just know that you're going to make a profit every season and not have to worry, be able to financially plan and be able to forecast how much money you're going to make, because that's the thing that does suck for these owners, but it's also like, I don't think they deserve a ton of sympathy for it, is that your team, especially these big teams, can make a bunch of money and then they can stand to lose that money if they have an off year. I understand that being scary. The Super League was like a replacement for Champions League. And the funny thing is that if you boil this down, this is Americans trying to get rid of a meritocracy. Like the Champions League was supposed to be the best teams based on performance. And yes, there's issues with the Champions League format as it currently stands. I'm not saying that it's perfect, but it was like the winners or the tops of the certain leagues throughout get to play in this separate league the next season, right? They get to represent the best of the best. And these guys were like, yeah, that's cool and all, but we always want to be the best of the best. And so let's start one where every year it's just us, which completely removes this need to fight, this need to win. I think Pep Guardiola said something along the lines of like, if you get rid of the need to win, then what's the game about? Which is, I totally agree with, but we do seem to love a meritocracy here in theory. We seem to think they exist where they don't, when really, if there's any chance for us to turn it into not a meritocracy, most American business folk are going to try to take that.
It also does seem that European soccer loves to think that the little guy can do a whole lot of winning without a whole lot of money attached to it. And that doesn't seem overly realistic to me either. Like, yeah, it's great that it can exist in theory, but I'd love to see the number of times where it works out in practice. Like, I know there's a couple examples, like there is in plenty of places. We get App State, Michigan all the time over here too, and it pops up every once in a while. We don't start picking them to win the whole thing because we know better in those spots. So it's nice. It's a great victory lap for fans. Like Bomani said, it's their idea, chance to rise up and do all of this. But I don't know if we can act like Americans have a monopoly on greed. I think the Europeans that are involved in these situations are just smart enough to know their audience in a way that the Americans did. Like, I've said this time and time again, and it could apply a lot of places. Apparently, this is an old Bill Simmons idea. You got to hire someone, some Gen Z millennial crossover, to just sit at the end of the room and not listen to any of your ideas. And then you tell it to them at the very end, and they tell you if you're going to get absolutely waxed by the fans, by social media, by everyone when this idea comes out. And make sure you then listen to that person, because that's kind of what happened here. But the one thing I will push back on too is the notion that American fans wouldn't do this, because I would just point to our friends in the Southeastern Conference that are fans of football teams, what we saw with Tennessee and Greg Schiano. Like, there are certain things we'll get mad enough about to actually go out and do something with here, but this is on a whole different scale because as Americans, when we dip a toe into this every once in a while, find out European soccer exists on an entirely different scale than most sports we deal with.
If they had kept Greg Schiano and he won his first three games, it would have been like none of that other stuff happened until they lost to Alabama by 5 touchdowns, at which point morality has returned.
Mm-hmm.
Tales old as time.
Do you question if Ryan Fitzmagic should feel guilty about this?
Who? The dude has a name. His name is Ryan Honestly. Fitzpatrick. He is not magical in any sort of way. Anyway, he was drafted in the 2005 draft along with Alex Smith, who did not go to Harvard but played football and graduated with an economics degree in 3 years. Just so you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the only smart person in the world, if he's smart. Anyway, let's go to this podcast with Chris Long.
A quick story with Alex.
I don't know that dude.
And one of my biggest regrets to date, when Alex broke his leg in that game a few years ago, I had what I thought was similar injury. I fractured my tibia in 2014 with the Houston Texans. And so,
oh no,
the single worst tweet or not tweet, I've never tweeted, the single worst text I've ever sent out, I sent it to Alex and I said, "Hey, Alex, just want to let you know they'll fix you right up. You'll be good as new. You know, I'm out here and I don't feel any pain from, you know, my injury you know, 3 years later or whatever." And I sent it and felt good about it. And he said, "Well, mine might be a little more complicated." And 17 surgeries later and the story of what he had to overcome. I mean, I felt like the biggest.
Okay, and we can laugh about that now.
Me too. But what he did last year was, it was incredible for him to get back on the field. And I was very happy after sending that text that he didn't lose his leg.
I can't get over Chris's statement there that I'm glad Alex is okay so we can all laugh about this now. Can I get a camera on Alex Smith and see if he thinks any of this is funny still? As someone who was a part of a golf cart accident that broke his buddy's wife's toe the week of her wedding, I can assure you that as she walked down the aisle in a boot, no joke, the next day we're sitting at brunch, her husband looks at me, who's one of my great friends, and says, "Well, good thing we got through this wedding and we can all laugh about this now." His wife looked at me from that table and said, "Huh," and went right back to her food in here. So I don't know if Alex Smith is ready to laugh about this.
You know, annulments are a lot cheaper than divorces.
How were you still invited? I'm amazed that you actually got to come to the wedding. That is Imani, wildly impressive.
I was in the wedding.
That's
the only reason you got to come, because it's too late for somebody else to get a tux.
That's true. They didn't want a bridesmaid to have to walk down alone.
Do you question if this cheapens this runner's victory?
All right, this is a relay race of some sort, and what they've told us to focus on is that the runner out front has a massive lead, which I would expect to be self-evident, but okay. Yeah, that looks like a big lead.
Oh, it's a puppy! It's a puppy!
This is what
you got it. You got it. You got it. Run through the end.
Woo.
No, big finish. Dog slows down here.
Whose dog was this?
Did the dog win?
Like, that's all I'm asking. Like, who had their dog there? How was this even possible? Somebody really, like, that's something somebody should get fired for. And instead, we out here talking about how cute it is.
Okay, but I will say, in comparison to humans that run onto the field during athletic competitions, at least dogs tend to, not always, but tend to add something. Something fun, something interesting. Whereas humans usually just run across with their naked body that nobody really wanted to see. And at least the dog is like enhancing our enjoyment.
Our enjoyment gets enhanced when a human gets on the field, not because they're on the field, but because of security. I love
nothing
more
than when... Yeah, but they cut away. They always cut away.
Yeah, but somebody always gets the footage. They always do. And the only reason the mouthpiece doesn't fly across the screen is because those dudes didn't think about getting one before they ran on the field. They should have.
Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, Grizzlies and Clippers.
All right, so a counterintuitive idea. The most memorable dunk that Vince Carter had in college in North Carolina is something called the tip dunk that wasn't. He didn't even make it, but that's the one that everybody remembers and apparently is the inspiration for Ja Morant's career. And we're going to go back to this time that he tried to yam on Kevin Love. Look at this. You! Ooh. Was that profiling? I think it was. Kevin Love still got the worst of it, even if he didn't make it. And yes, I mean exactly what you think. Now, here's Ja Morant playing against the Nuggets the other night.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. He really tried to do dinner serve at the end of overtime.
I mean,
he will try anything. He's going to get hurt one day. Like, if Jokic would have hit him with his shoulder at the hip and turned him upside down, like, you just can't abide by that level of disrespect. I would have understood Jokic is the MVP. Katie, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I'm a little bit intrigued now because I like any time that I feel I can relate to a professional athlete. Doesn't happen all that often. But I do relate to Ja Morant here in that when I played softball, I would always dive to try to catch the ball in the outfield. I would always give my all, even in practice. Did I catch it? Most times, no. But you couldn't say I didn't try my hardest.
Got you intrigued.
I'm very intrigued. We talked before about giving Mark Davis credit for intent. I want to give Ja Morant credit for intent because his intentions were mean-spirited in here. He was trying to embarrass these guys, and I always support that.
All right, that is our show. Check out Katie Nolan on Sports. It has a question mark. It is a podcast. You will enjoy it. Mike Golic Jr., check him out on Chiney and Golic, 4 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
And listen to The Right Time with Bomani Jones. It's a great podcast, and you can get it wherever you get your podcasts.